Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. When we hear the word loss, we often associate it with the death of a loved one or close friend. However, loss comes in many forms, from employment termination and financial insecurity to health problems that limit daily activities. Every loss brings with it an often unwelcome change to our lives and leaves open wounds on the heart. A failure to undergo a healing process can lead to physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual deficiencies that leave a lifetime of scars. How do we begin this journey from the dark times of sadness and grief to the light of healing and happiness? My guest today, Dee Lundgren, is a speaker, blogger, and counselor with a private counseling practice in a suburb of Philadelphia. Dee received her master's degree in counseling from Grace College and her undergraduate degree in marketing business administration from the University of Illinois. In addition, she received her life coaching certification from the American Association of Christian Counselors. Dee has been married to her best friend Bob for 35 years. As a pastor's wife, she has been involved for over 20 years teaching women's Bible studies. She serves with the national radio ministry New Life Live as a counselor at their weekend intensives. She is currently writing her first book entitled When Doing Right Turns Out Wrong, Finding Hope and Healing After Unexpected Loss. Good morning and welcome to the show, Dee.
Thank you, Patty. Good to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. It's been quite a while since we actually got to meet each other. Over a year, probably. You're getting close to a year. Yeah, and you're back there in Pennsylvania. What's going on over there on the East Coast with the weather and all that these days?
Well, we actually have some good weather, which has been unusual. So it's kind of mild, so I'm happy. We're glad for spring. It took a long time to come. We kept thinking it was coming, then we'd get the snow, then it was coming, then we got the snow, and I think we're done with the snow.
You guys had a pretty hard winter back there, didn't you, this year?
Right. It was tough, but we're in the springtime now, and so we're excited.
And here I'm a huge fan of the wintertime, and all we saw was a few flurries and a light dusting all winter, so I was heartbroken with disappointment over that.
Oh gosh.
I like at least one good storm in the season, and we just didn't get anything this year. So what I was thinking about all you guys, I'm from back that way from New York, and I have family that lives up in the Adirondack country, and they really get it, and I'm always jealous when my sister sends me her pictures.
I don't know what's wrong with you, Patty.
That's what a lot of people say.
We'll talk later.
Well, Dee, I would like to know, I usually start out my interviews by asking my guests, tell us a little bit about your childhood. What kind of experiences at that time of your life led to the career choices that you have made today as a counselor and a coach? Or did maybe those choices come out of something that happened later in life?
Well, I think it did. I was raised in the Chicagoland area, and like many counselors, there's probably not a counselor I know that doesn't have some type of woundedness. There's usually something that gets us to want to seek this profession. And so I guess from some childhood woundedness, emotional needs that were not met in my family, and issues led to depression and an eating disorder and that type of thing. And so, I grew up in a religious home, but it wasn't until age 21, when I was my last year in college, that I came to know Christ as my Savior. And I thought that when I came to Jesus, that would solve all of my emotional problems. And it didn't. And so I think through God's word, and I would read theology books, I'd read counseling books, that kind of led me to, in my middle years, to pursue a counseling degree.
Very good. Well, yeah, and I know a lot of times with many of us, we all come from some kind of a wounded history that, unless we get it dealt with somewhere along the line, it can crop up and become a real problem throughout our lifetime. Dee, as I mentioned at the beginning of the introduction to the show, we hear the word loss, and we almost automatically associate that with a loss of a loved one, a death of a loved one. But there are many other different kinds of losses, and I'm sure that you deal with them daily in your counseling experience. Can you share with us some of the losses that are the most damaging for people?
Well, you know, Patty, there are just so many. And I don't know that a lot of times we recognize them as losses, but we have so much divorce now going on that, of course, brings a loss of a relationship to a spouse. It brings, of course, loss for children also. And a lot of secondary losses can be associated with the primary loss of divorce, loss of income, having to move, all other ramifications from the initial loss. We have a lot of unemployment and a lot of job instability, so we have loss of jobs that people are facing. We have lots more, I think, cancer and other kinds of health-related issues that will create physical problems. Even I have a friend that's undergoing some cancer treatment, and I see pictures of her on Facebook, and she's going through losing her hair, getting wigs. She's looking different. So also physical losses that we experience. We have a whole rash of national disasters, from hurricanes to wildfires. And when you think about the loss of homes, the loss of possessions that people lose during these type of natural disasters, the loss of their neighbors, communities that have been wiped out. We have emotional losses, losses of dreams. Maybe we start out in our 20s and we think our life's going to go some way, a particular direction. And I don't know about you, Patty, but my life is nowhere near what I thought it would be. And
yeah, so, I hear you there.
You know, good in some ways, but, you know, not just different. And so losses of dreams. We have miscarriages, infertility. We have people who are single that don't want to be single. And so that's kind of a loss of the dream of being even married. And then, of course, with aging. As we age, we experience losses, physical losses, loss of beauty, loss of energy, loss of physical strength. And we have to, as we get older, we have to say goodbye to many more people than we did when we were younger. So I like that you bring that up, Patty. There are just a lot more losses than just loss of a loved one.
Most definitely. Yeah, and you know what's going through my mind right now, too, on a personal level. I'm having some, I don't know, they think maybe it's something going on with my back, where I'm having some problems with walking and a lot of swelling in my legs and this kind of thing. And they're thinking maybe it's related to the spine somehow. And I know, I mean, I used to love to go walk every day, and boy, I haven't done that for a while. I can't even get down on my knees on the floor and pet the dog like I used to, you know, give him a good belly rub. And
yeah.
I mean, it sounds like kind of silly, but yet, or to be able to climb up on a chair and change a light bulb or get something from a top shelf. I just can't do those things right now until I find out what in the world's going on here. And you really puts you into a little bit of a depression, actually.
Right. You really have to process these losses. I like that you're sharing that, because these are things that happen to us throughout the lifespan. And I think we need to realize, what I'm doing is I need to grieve this loss or the potential loss. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's a difficult thing to have to deal with, and we all have to deal with it at some point, you know, whether we're young or old. Well, Dee, I know that you, of course, the premise of this show is Step Into the Light. People come onto the show who have been in a dark place and find their way back to light. And you also have a term for it on your website that I loved, and it escapes me right now. returning from something to wholeness, I think it is.
Well, I need to read my website, but
remember that there can be wholeness. There can be wholeness after brokenness.
Wholeness after brokenness.
I'm sorry, I should have written that down so I had it right at my fingertips, because I really love that.
That whole premise.
I thought that was great. It just parallels so well with my darkness to light thing. I just thought it was kind of neat. But anyway, you do have a story to share, Dee, a rather tragic story that plunged you definitely, I'm sure, into a period of intense darkness. If you would you share that with us?
Well, yes. About a little over 10 years ago, I was at the American, it's really very ironic. I was at the American Association of Christian Counselors World Conference. And so this conference was in Nashville, Tennessee. So there's 7,000 Christian counselors at the Opryland Hotel.
Wow.
Now, to back up, yeah, it's just so cool. You have all these Christian counselors walking around. So it's just such a fun anticipated setting. And I have four children, and at that time they ranged from 22 to, let's see how old Ryan was. He was about 14. And
okay.
So, you know, I had gone to the conference alone. And so, as usual, I call my husband, just touch base, what's going on at home. And so the first session, and Max Licato was about to speak. So all these people are with the white name tags are running, you know, all to nab the good seats. And so I call home because I realized, okay, I could call home, just touch base, and that, so they don't think I forgot about them. And my husband starts out with a story. Now, my husband doesn't tell, he gets to the point on the phone. He doesn't usually tell stories. And so I immediately knew something was wrong. And I said, what's wrong? And he starts with this story again. And I said, it's John, isn't it? And he said, yes. He told me that my 22-year-old son had shot himself.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So here I am, and I just kind of fall to the ground screaming, and the people there were great. A couple of the ladies took me to their hotel room and ministered to me. Now, just to back up, John suffered from bipolar disorder throughout his life, and he loved the Lord. He knew the Lord as his Savior, but he still had emotional problems.
Issues.
I did not ever think that he would ever complete a suicide. He had attempted once before, and God had miraculously stopped it from happening. And so I kind of wrongly assumed, and we don't know what we assume until things don't go the way we think they're going to go, that God would really protect him. And he did not at this point. And so John had gone to a shooting range. We didn't even know that he knew how to shoot a gun. He exchanged his license, and they gave him a gun. And instead of shooting at the target, he aimed at his head.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry.
Yes, thanks. And he succeeded in killing himself. So that's propelled me into this emotional journey that I didn't want, I didn't ask for, and I didn't expect. So the things that I had been teaching my clients, I had a private counseling practice, I was now experiencing on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
when you get news like that, you feel as if you have just, your whole body feels it. I became weak in the legs, and just so many emotions just swim in your mind all at once. It's just, something I can't even describe. I really can't describe that feeling that I had and that I had for the days and months afterwards.
No, you can't describe it. You're right, Dee. And I think the loss, I mean, loss of anyone is difficult, but the loss of a young person is just, I mean, you just look to God and you say, why? If I can share something really quick, our family just experienced a loss with my grandniece. She was 19.
Yes.
And she had just gone to my daughter and son-in-law and my granddaughter's house to show them a letter that she had received from a college back in Massachusetts. She was so excited. She had been accepted. She was a huge volleyball player. I mean, well-known all throughout the Arkansas Valley, senior in high school. And they had told her in this letter they wanted her to play volleyball for them.
Wow.
And she was just over the moon. She was so excited. Went for a drive with three of her friends, and there was a tragic accident, and she lost her life.
So difficult.
And, you know, it's tough. I mean, here I am crying, too.
It's tough.
You know, and I don't, it doesn't, in this, another sense, though, it doesn't matter, Dee, if it's that 19-year-old or the case of my husband who passed away during open-heart surgery at 75. You know? You know, he passed almost 2 years ago. I mean, all of those losses are just, they're just so deep. They just affect us in such a deep manner.
Yes.
So you,
yes,
being the counselor who is experienced in this kind of thing, you've now seen both sides of it. If you,
yes,
would share with us, what are some of the basic steps? Here we are both tearful. What are the basic steps involved in the grief process?
Well, I like that you said steps, because it's not just, as you know, Patty, just having recently experienced, you know, the loss of your, I think you said grandniece.
Yes.
At first, there are, it's a process, and I think we can get kind of confused if we don't realize that grief is a process. And the first one is denial. When we hear the news, we just can't believe it.
Yeah,
and I remember,
exactly,
after John had died, just waking up the next morning thinking, did that really happen? And then going to the, you know, the funeral and still thinking, did that really happen? Mm-hmm. Going to my quiet times, and I would always pray for my children, and going to pray for John and realizing, oh, he's gone. So you first hit denial, and some of us can stay there longer than others, but we all start at that place of denial. And then we might move to something, and again, this is not like a linear thing that everyone has to follow the same pattern, because grief, individual grief, is individual, and it's different. But there are some patterns that most of us go through. And then is we can hit the anger or protest stage. We can just be really mad at what happened, but that may play out in our lives in different ways. I've had clients who have had children in a hospital, and maybe there was a true medical error that,
yes,
they lost someone to. And so instead of grieving the loss of the person that died, we can just stay stuck in the anger at whoever it is that we feel, you know, committed this error. So there's just an anger and protest. Sometimes it can go against God. Sometimes it can go against other people. Sometimes we can fixate on something that a friend said or didn't say to us, but we have this free-floating anger. It's a sense of protest at what happened. And then we can move into something like just depression. I just remember being so, so tired and so apathetic, not wanting, mm-hmm, to do too much, not really,
yeah,
having an appetite, not really wanting to go anywhere, not really wanting to talk to anyone, just a low-grade depression. And then we can hit the stage of bargaining. And that's kind of, we don't like the pain, so we unconsciously make these deals in our mind. And some of the deals can go like this. In a year, when I hit the year mark, then the pain will go away. And we find the year comes and passes, and sometimes the pain has not gone away.
Exactly.
Or we feel like if I just know the reason why, this is a very common thing that many of us say, is if I just knew the reason why that this happened, then I would be okay. And really the why does not really do anything, and we often don't know the reasons why. And then the last stage is acceptance. Now, acceptance is not liking what happened. We're never going to like what happened. We live in a fallen world, and we experience different pain. But acceptance is not struggling to the same degree that you did when the loss was fresh. It's moving on with your life, maybe with a limp and maybe with some scars, but not the gaping wounds that you had when the loss was fresh. So it is a process, and it is a process that usually takes longer than any of us like.
It sure does. I know when my husband passed, he had a series of medical problems, and I'm not going to go into all that, but finally this culminated in open heart surgery. And I don't know if you're familiar with someone who is undergoing a surgical procedure, but they call you from the operating room and they give you a report about every hour throughout the procedure.
And
the first three times they called and they said, well, now let me tell you, back up a little bit and tell you, the doctor had said, this is risky. I don't even want to do this procedure, but this is the last option he has, basically. So
okay.
I knew going in that things were not looking good. But they called three different times and said, the patient is stable, the procedure is continuing as planned, which I was just ecstatic by the third time. I went down to the chapel.
Sure.
I prayed. I even ran into some priest in the cafeteria. And I said, oh, I'm so thankful. You know, he wasn't real friendly. He just said, well, I'm glad for you, or something like that. And I went back up.
Patted on the head. And
exactly. And the fourth phone call, they told us that my husband was in cardiac arrest.
Oh.
And needless to say, he did not make it through the surgery.
Oh.
So there was all of that, you know, hopefulness and everything. And then all of a sudden, and I can't say that I was really angry at God, because they explained to me later that had he survived that surgery, he would have been on hospice care, on an inordinate amount of pain meds. His activity would have been very limited, and he would not have wanted to live that way. But later on, I often thought to myself, why, God, why didn't you just take him like at the beginning of the surgery, you know?
Right.
Why go through 3.5-4 hours of surgery and then, you know, have this happen?
Yeah.
And of course, like we say in our Bible study all the time, we are the finite trying to understand the infinite, and we never will.
Right.
But there was an element of, I guess you'd say, disappointment in that whole scenario. Gee, you know, thought it was going to turn out this way, and it just didn't. So that's another factor that is important, I think. And it can be the same way. You can take something and it's not a lesser degree to the person that it's happening to, but like a financial issue where, oh, I know I'm going to get this loan. Well, no, you don't. And, you know, so there's all kinds of different losses and the frustration that comes with not having our end goal met.
Right.
Well,
you
had mentioned earlier, Dee, when we were talking, that when you became a Christian, you thought that, which a lot of people live with this misconception that once you become a Christian, your life is just going to be wonderful and nothing bad is ever going to happen to you again. We find out that we are sadly mistaken over time. So what are some of the common myths that do keep Christians stuck from progressing through the steps that we just talked about?
Oh, gosh. Patty, I could talk forever on this, but there are just so many – Sometimes the non-Christian, they're dealing with it in a different way. They don't have the hope that the Christian has, but there's some specific Christian myths that really wound us. And I'll just name a few of them. And I think you mentioned this, Patty, is sometimes we can blame God for the loss. And I think that the thinking goes like, God is sovereign and he's powerful. So we assume that he will keep certain things from happening in our life. And you know, I wanted to write the book that's on God's promises for tribulation, but that would not sell. But there's a promise in the Bible, John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So God does promise that we're going to experience tribulation. 1 Peter 4:12 says, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though some strange thing were happening to you. And I remember when John died, I thought, I was surprised at the strange thing that was happening to me. And I'd been a Christian for a while, and I still was surprised at that. So I think we, you know, Christians could blame God for the loss, or we can blame ourselves and not move past our guilt. I think, Patty, especially since I lost my son, would I have done some things differently? Of course I would. I'd do a lot of things differently. I really gave my best to parenting, but we can always sit there and blame ourselves for certain things. But, you know, Jesus died for our sin and our guilt. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we can just wallow in our shame. And that will keep us stuck. Or we believe that if we were a good enough Christian, we won't experience certain things. So that can cause us to live in denial and keep smiling so that people think that God is good, because we think that's going to make, will be a better testimony that way. Another myth that keeps Christians stuck is believing that, well, that you should be over it by now. When is now? Oh, usually Christians give us about 2 months. The cards and the meals stop. Then I was just amazed that people stopped asking me how I was doing. It's almost like they didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so Christians really think that because you're a Christian, because you have God's word, because you have faith, that somehow things should go quicker for you. Let's see, some other myths that keep Christians stuck is we misapply scripture. So we believe, and some people actually say this, that God caused something evil. And we know from scripture that God's not the author of evil. He allows things. That doesn't mean he causes things. So it would be very cruel to tell someone whose son was murdered, perhaps, that God caused this and God wanted this. Or we say even dumber things like God needed another angel.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you go back to Genesis, he already created the angels. He doesn't need any more angels. or he needs more children in heaven. Oh, gosh, so we got to help God out or something like that. Or, you know, God needed more people in heaven, less people on earth. So these things just keep Christians stuck and in needless pain. Dr. Norm Wright, he's the author of several books on grief and loss. And one thing I like about him is that he's also experienced loss of a child, and now recently a loss of his wife. So he knows what he's talking about. He's been there. And he says, you know, grief takes time. And I think as Christians, we don't allow that time. He says the loss of a child could take between 6 to 10 years. It takes that
easily
long to,
yeah,
kind of process the loss of a child. So these are all things that can keep Christians stuck in loss. I recently have talked to someone who lost a child, and they felt it was due to their lack of faith because God did not heal their child. And so, these are really hard things when we believe some of these myths, because they really do keep us stuck in grief.
Yeah, they sure do. And Dee, I probably should have done this a few minutes ago, but let me just take a real quick break here and make listeners aware. We have listeners that come into the show after it has started and may not be familiar with what we are, what we're talking about. So the name of this show is Step Into the Light. We're glad to have you here listening with us. I am your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Dee Lundgren. Dee is a speaker, a blogger, and a counselor. She works with a private counseling practice in a suburb of Philadelphia. We are talking about grief and loss. Dee shared with us her devastating experience of the loss of her son to suicide back about, was this about 10 years ago, you said, Dee?
Yes.
Yeah. And we're talking about some of the ways to overcome grief and overcome loss and some of the stumbling blocks to that. If you missed any part of the show, you'd like to listen to it again, or you would like to refer it to someone else, the show can be found on my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And you'll find a Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the website, and you will find the link to all of our shows there. You will also find underneath Dee's show, you will find a more information tab, and that will give you some more info about Dee and links to her website and her other social media venues. So we'd love to have you come over there and visit both her website and mine and see if we can offer some resources that can be helpful for whatever it is that you as a listener may be dealing with. So we'll return to the show. At this point, we were talking about some of the common myths that people experience, that Christians experience, and that people perceive how Christians should get over their grief, and we don't always get over it that way. So, and a case in point with that, Dee, we had a, oh, it's our, we call it Santa Fe Trail Day. It's a big annual thing here that actually our high school has sponsored it for the past 84 years. It's the longest running event sponsored by a high school in the country. And
oh, wow.
It's pretty neat. A few days before that, you know how Facebook brings up those memories?
Right.
If you're familiar with it.
Sometimes
you like them,
sometimes you don't.
Exactly. Well, this brought up a memory of, I took a picture of my husband and his two brothers on Santa Fe Trail Day. And getting the three of them 2 years ago, 3 years ago, getting them together for a picture is like amazing. You can tell by the expression on their faces, none of them were thrilled, but anyway, it brought up that memory, and I posted it. And of course, our Santa Fe Trail Day was coming up this past Friday, and because of the time, you know, Friday was a couple of days previous 3 years ago. Anyway, it was up there, and before I went to bed that night, I just took a look at that picture, and I'll tell you what, Dee, it's been almost 2 years since my husband passed, and I spent half the night real tearful, you know, just thinking about how the things we used to do on Santa Fe Trail Day that, you know, it just would be different. And this year I did different things with different people because it just isn't the same. So, yeah, I know exactly what you mean about how people think you should be over it and it within a certain time frame, and it just does not work that way at all.
Right, right.
And also, like you know Marlene, because that's where I met you, was at her conference.
Yes, I know Marlene.
She did a class one time. It was called No Pat Answers. And we talked about how, you know, we say the stupidest things to people, like,
Oh, yes.
I don't know. What is it? What is the one that, I've caught myself saying it, so I've quit saying it, and I can't even
God
remember what it is.
God has a reason for everything.
God has a reason, and she's in a better place. You know, somebody who just lost a 10-year-old really loves to hear that one. You know, I mean,
I knew someone that she had 8 children, and I was at her seminar, and she lost one, and someone said, "Well, at least you have 7 others." And she said, "I felt like saying, so which one of your kids would you not want to have?"
Exactly. That's the same. People just don't realize when they say things to people. And we've done a lot of, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, we've done some grief counseling with them. In fact, I had several friends that we all seem to have lost our spouses within like 6 months of each other. So we started... We had our hospice group in the next town, started a group down here. And I really liked what you were talking about with guilt, Dee, because we talk about, what did our counselor say? Something about guilt is the handmaiden of grief or something like that. It's the thing that just perpetuates that grief all the time, if you let it. Oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. Why didn't I say this? Why did I say that? I didn't mean it, you know, and that can eat you alive if you let it.
Well, I never thought of that. When you have a spouse, certainly there's a lifetime of things that you did well and things that you might have done differently. And so I don't think that guilt is part of the grief process. I think it's more of a dead end. You know,
well, that's what he was saying.
Stay there,
it can hold
you
back.
You're not getting out of that one, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
Yeah, there was a term he used, and I can't remember, but it basically says, you know, the more you allow yourself to wallow in guilt, the deeper you're going to get into your grief, because you just can't do anything about the things that they're already passed.
Right.
There's nothing
Jesus
you can do.
Jesus redeemed our
that.
Past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, we talked about some of the stumbling blocks, Dee. So how, counselor, do you help folks overcome those stumbling blocks and find their way to healing?
Well, I think that this sounds simple, but it is the foundation, getting into God's Word. Specifically, I believe the Psalms. The Psalms are just filled with raw emotion.
Definitely.
I just remember going through the Psalms, taking my pen, underlining things that really ministered to me. And I don't think I left the Psalms for a year or two. daily time with the Lord. And surprisingly, a book that a lot of people don't like to go to, I went to the book of Job. And
yes.
I found great comfort in just reading his story. And there's a lot of depth to that story. And I think that Job, he even despaired of his life. And I think anyone who's true to themselves in grief kind of goes, I am just so tired of this. I don't want to do anything, but, you know, Lord, if you want to take me, I just can't take this pain anymore. And so I just appreciate Job's rawness. And I also found just hope and healing just seeing what his friends said to him. His friends tried to give reasons or explanations on why this happened. And so things have not changed much. It's our human tendency to try to give answers or reasons. And in the end, God never really answered why to Job. He just showed him himself, and Job was okay. So really getting into God's Word, seeing what he says for yourself, not just what other people say, but getting into God's Word, that's key. In a daily time with the Lord, getting involved in a local church or staying involved in a local church, because a lot of people don't want to go to church because they might cry in church. And so I'd say go to a church where you can cry in church. You know, if you're going to a church where, or sit in the back or something, but don't stay away. And also talk to emotionally safe people. You'll realize which people you can talk to and which people you might need to stay away from. You want to stay away from anyone who might judge you or not want to, you know, sometimes people like the fun D, but they don't want to be around the D that's sad. And so you might need to stay away from certain people. And it's really important to take care of yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because grief, as you know, Patty, probably after your husband passed, you were probably more tired. Sleep might have been interrupted. Appetite might have been interrupted. So it's really important to take care of yourself physically. You might need to say no to some things, to accept some limitations, to rest. You're not going to be able to function at the same capacity that you were before your loss. So just to realize that and not to judge yourself. So just to take care of yourself in every way. And I think also reading some books on grief, just targeted books on grief, are really helpful. I know Dr. Norm Wright, he has a really good book, Recovering from the Losses of Life. And so he deals with all kinds of losses. He's got exercises in that book. It's just really been a great book. And locally, a lot of communities have grief share programs. I don't know if you've heard of Grief Share, Patty, but it's...
No, I have not.
It is a program that a lot of, I believe, counselors, I've not done it myself, counselors have put together, and they're in local churches. I believe it goes through 13 weeks. You have a workbook, you have some video time, and you have a small group with everybody who has gone through grief. And then the leaders have been trained so that they can facilitate the sharing of grief. Because one thing that we do know, that when you share your grief, that can really help you, each person. So these are just some of the things that people can do. And of course, counseling, if you feel like you are just stuck and you need some additional help, counseling might be a good tool for you.
Yeah, and here's a question I'd like to ask you, Dee. Of course, you're clear across the country from me, but, and you mentioned your, I can't remember the organization, something of Christian counseling. Is there
American
a way to
access
American Association of Christian Counseling? There you go. Is there, I'm sure there's a way to like access that online to say, you know, here I am in Colorado. Say, I felt like I really needed some professional counseling, but I wanted a Christian counselor. Can I go to like their website and say, oh, hey, yeah, there's somebody.
Yes. There are three main places where I send people: the American Association of Christian Counselors, otherwise known as the AACC. There are people in that network. I also send people to Focus on the Family. They have a network of counselors that I'm also a part of. So I think you could either call them or go on their website. Mm-hmm. And I think their phone number is still 1-800-A-FAMILY.
I believe
and
so,
And then
yeah.
I'm also part of New Life Ministries, which is a nationwide ministry of counselors, and they have a network of counselors, so you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and they have counselors throughout the country. And one thing I like about all three of these organizations is they check the counselors out. They need to be a Christian counselor, not just by saying you're a Christian counselor. I just remember when I got into my private counseling practice, I got involved in these organizations and had to fill out an extensive questionnaire, and then I had a phone interview. So they do check out their counselors, and they do follow up to see if clients are satisfied with the counselors that they've gone to. So those are some good places.
Wonderful.
for people to go to.
And if I might mention, too, another resource that has been so helpful for me, Dee, I don't know if you have any back there, but the one I listen to out here is, well, it's internet. There's internet access, so it's basically internationally accessible. It's Christian radio. I listen to a station out here in Colorado Springs. It's called Keeping the Lord First. KTLF is their call letters. And KTLF.org, you can listen to it online. There's also a tune-in app that you can get for your phone. And that's where I listen to it through more than anything, because I don't happen to have an AM/FM radio anywhere in my house anymore. So when I'm in my vehicle, I can listen to it, you know, through FM radio. But half the time, I listen to it through that tune-in app, and then it, oh, this newfangled stuff in your vehicle, you know, it automatically plays through. But this particular station doesn't do a lot of talking. It's a lot of light praise music. But when you mentioned Focus on the Family, once in a while I wake up at 5:30 in the morning. They have an interview with somebody from 5:30 to 6 from Focus. And in the evening, they do a special program called Reflections from 7 in the evening till 2 in the morning. And it's all instrumental. In the evening here, I just keep that as background for whatever I'm doing. It's just kind of a very soothing, comforting, peaceful presence, you know, for me, who's now by myself. And then at 2 in the morning, they resume their music where they, you know, actually have lyrics to the music that they play and everything. But it's a combination, actually, of some of your traditional hymns and then some of your more modern-day stuff, like the song that they made the movie about, I Can Only Imagine.
I Can Only Imagine, which is a great movie.
Songs like that, you know, contemporary stuff that's out there. And I just really love that station. I started listening to it before my husband passed, and I just became more and more involved in them afterwards, you know, because they're just such a soothing presence for me. So I just thought I would bring that up, that and there may be other more local Christian stations in your area, I don't know, but this one, I just think they're absolutely wonderful. And the nice thing about them is that they are totally 100% listener supported.
Right.
They have some regulations, of course, but they don't have any advertising because of that. And it's just a wonderful station. So, like I said, I just thought I would throw my pitch in for them because I really like a lot of their stations. So, definitely. Well, speaking of a reach more than in your area, Dee, you do have a blog, which, of course, can, you know, it can have international, actually, reach to it. Tell us what folks can find on there.
Okay, I actually just launched my website 2 weeks ago, so this is fresh, and I started blogging because I felt like God wanted me to reach people with this message, and he wanted me to reach beyond my counseling office, and this is something I kind of fought against, just putting myself out there, but gotten some great response, and that's at dlundgren.com, and we'll be writing a weekly blog that has to do with grief and loss. And again, it might not be all of us go through grief and loss. So really it's for everybody, because I think the time to prepare for loss is before it even happens. And so just writing about different pertinent topics. And then there's a comment section after the blog. And right now I'm attempting to respond to every comment that I get, and I want it to be very interactive. And you can find out information about my counseling, coaching, and speaking through that website.
Wonderful. Okay. Yeah, something that I just felt a real drive to make people aware of after my husband passed away, and I blogged about it on a couple of guest blogs, was it sounds horrible, but be prepared for the fact that 99% of the time when there's a marriage, you are not going to go together. One of you is going to go first. and have that
right.
other person be ready as far as the basic stuff from insurance policies to all that kind of thing. But then there's other things to consider. Like, I know if I had passed away first, my husband wouldn't even know how to turn on the oven. You know?
Okay.
There's people, there's women that are left by themselves that don't even know how to use a hammer or a screwdriver for basic stuff.
Or something.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, you know, and I kind of had a drive to bring that to people's attention and the whole thing about do you have funeral plans? Do you know what kind? Because I had to talk to my husband about this kind of stuff the night before he went into that surgery. And heaven knows we should have talked about it a long time ago, but there's always that feeling of, oh, I don't want to bring it up, you know. Oh, I really don't want to talk about this right now. Gee, I don't want him to think he's going to die, you know. And the fact is, we are going to die. And so that's just a little side thing that I thought I would bring up, too. That,
well, I think that's good.
So
the time to prepare is before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are all going to experience some type of losses. So the more that you can talk through some things, again, without being gruesome, is helpful.
Exactly. And what subjects do you cover? Do you cover basically the same kind of subjects? And I assume your speaking ministry is probably fairly local, is it not, Dee?
Well, actually, I spoke at the went back to the AACC to do a workshop on the loss of an adult child. I can speak on many different topics. About before I lost my son, when my husband's a pastor, I was speaking weekly at the local Bible study, and so I can speak on a variety of topics in which I combine counseling principles along with biblical truth, and you can find that on my website, different speaking topics that I enjoy speaking on.
But your physical surroundings, I mean, do you travel much beyond your Pennsylvania area?
Other than maybe do a conference or something? I have not, but I would. You know, I want to see. That's why I launched the website, just to see what God has, because I felt like He was reaching beyond my comfort zone.
Wonderful.
I do enjoy speaking, and that's a passion of mine, even more than writing is, but I enjoy both.
Very good. And, of course, we do need to talk about your upcoming book. Tell us about that.
Well, When Doing Right Turns Out Wrong, that's a book that I began writing pretty much a little over a year ago, and that's probably why I met you, Patty, because I went to a writer's conference. And so since that time, I fell on my head and got a concussion. And so the writing is a little bit on hold. And so I'm doing blogging on the topic in hopes to put some of the things that I'm blogging about into my book.
Good.
You know, you start on one path and then God kind of leads you in different ways.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Right.
Well, Dee, is there anything else that you would like to bring up on the subjects that we've talked about today before we do close? Any other thoughts that you would like to share with our listeners?
I guess if there's one thing I want to say is that there can be life after loss, and you can be in the deepest, darkest place, and God will meet you there, and He will help you, and you can find help, hope, and healing. That's really my message.
Yes,
and I think
yes,
the message that God has for you.
Yes, and I've enjoyed looking at your website. I didn't want to say too much about it. I wanted you to promote it more than me. But I've been on your website, and I probably will visit it again.
Well,
so
if you sign up, I'll send you weekly updates on my blog. So you can do that,
awesome.
Patty. Love to have you on my list.
Okay, very good. Well, Dee, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us today. I am so sorry that you had to experience the tragedy of the loss of your son, and I just cannot imagine that kind of devastating experience. But it sounds like, as He always does, God takes things that are not so good and uses them for good, because He has definitely placed into your heart a passion for a message. And you will probably never know how many lives you touch with that message. So
I want to thank you so much for spending time here with us today, and may God continue to bless you in your ministry, and may He continue to bless you with your healing journey, Dee.
Thanks, and I thank you, Patty, for inviting me. I've really enjoyed this.
Well, you are welcome, and may God bless you. To our listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark times in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remember. Thank you for spending some time with us today. I would ask that you please go visit Dee's website. I think you'll find some important resource information out there. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, may God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a